for the delay. As you saw, we were on the floor. We also have members that have to leave at 2 o'clock for a caucus meeting, and we'll be back on the floor at 2:30. So we're going to try to be expeditious as much as we can in the time we have here. With that, I'd like to, we're going to go a little bit out of order. I'm going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 2444, and we have a representative from Representative Patty Smith's office here, because she is in caucus. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Metzger, and members of the Senate Business, Transportation, and Workforce Development. I am Jessica Miller, Representative Patty Smith, Legislative Assistant. Thank you today for the opportunity to come before you and read into the record a letter from Kevin Skolinski, the current chair of the Oregon Bartlett Pear Commission. The fresh pear growers are requesting help in streamlining the process by dissolving the Oregon Bartlett Pear Commission. Over a four-year process, leaders of the pear industry in Oregon and Washington proposed changes to six pear organizations that would structure all pear assessments under one organization. Bartlett Pear assessments were collected by two state commissions and one federal marketing order that has made it confusing for producers to submit reports and fulfill their obligations. In addition, winter pear assessments were paid to a different organization and new varieties were left out. The changes streamline all pear assessments under one marketing order and equalized research funding for all pear varieties in both states. Pear growers voted in favor, and the changes in the industry have been in place since May of 2005. All that remains of this proposed changes is to dissolve the Oregon Bartlett Pear Commission. The industry requests the support of the Oregon legislature to accomplish that final action. The Oregon House Ag and Natural Resources Committee voted unanimously in favor of House Bill 2444, and the House likewise unanimously passed the bill. The pear industry continues to strongly support 75 years of promotion programs, and it is just that the Bartlett Pear Commission specifically is no longer needed. In 2005, the pear became Oregon's state fruit. The pear industry is still celebrating that honor. Please pass House Bill 2444 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. Any questions for Jessica? So this is another opportunity to, as we say, to go back to our constituents and say we're taking unnecessary things out of the books, you know. Thank you very much. Why don't we just close the public hearing on House Bill 2444 and open a work session on House Bill 2444.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move House Bill 2444 to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Bill 2444 to the floor. That's a lot to say. 4440 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Any objection? So ordered. All right, I'll go ahead and carry that. Now let's open up public hearing on Senate Bill, or Senate Joint Resolution 23, Janet.
Mr. Chair, members, Senate Joint Resolution 23 would designate the Sunday before Veterans Day as Blue Star Memorial Highway Day to recognize and honor veterans and their families. Mr. Chair, this bill is at the request of Senator Metzger and Representative Smith, and there are a number of people signed up to testify.
Thank you very much. Richard Gorby, Sue Robertson, and John Newman, please come forward. Great to have you here today. And before we begin, just tell some of my colleagues, as you know, Highway 205 is now Veterans Memorial Highway. It's also Blue Star Highway. We're going to hear about this. And the week before Veterans Day, for the last number of years, there has been a tour of veterans that starts in Clark County and goes to the terminus of Veterans Memorial Highway down on I-5. Participated in that again this year with some of our counterparts from Washington, and it was just a real moving experience. And these folks here, particularly Mr. Newman, has been just a real leader in all that. So we really appreciate it. Great. Thanks, sir. And whoever would like to kick us off, please do.
Thank you, Senator Metzger, Vice Chair, committee members. My name is Richard Gorby. I'm President of the Vietnam Veterans for the State of Oregon. I live in Bend, Oregon, and we are in favor of SJR 23. Recognition of veteran symbols, events, and veteran holidays is key to keeping all of our veterans' history, exceptional valor, and highlighted veteran issues in front of the general public. Vietnam Veterans of America support resolutions and legislations to that end. The importance of recognition for our veteran population spans all conflicts and honors those men and women who served, especially the families of our fallen heroes. If it wasn't for those here today, veterans service organizations and committees like this, veterans would keep suffering in the shadows of government indifference. What we do here today is important. Why is any service recognition necessary? Because Vietnam veterans and others have fought for adequate care by the VA system since 1973. The continued underfunding policies and the denial that problems exist is harming all veterans. Even today, almost 35 years later, Vietnam veterans are finding they are being prioritized down on services that they qualify for. Our new war veterans will suffer the same consequences if indifference continues. They, too, will be pushed out of care, which they deserve, by the war vets of the future and government policy against their rights of service. What can we do? Be sure we continue recognizing our veterans by keeping those special veteran times, symbols, and events prioritized in the public view. Your support and influence to that end is appreciated. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gorey. Who's next?
Chair Metzger, members of the committee, I am Sue Robertson of Portland. Today I'm here as a member of the Veterans of Oregon and Community Coalition of Troop Support, VFW Auxiliary Member, and member of the Non-Commissioned Officers Association. I am in full support of 23. Veterans Memorial Highway. The Blue Star Memorial Highways are a tribute to the armed forces that have defended the United States of America. The Blue Star taken from the Blue Star in the service flag was chosen to symbolize the memorial because it was used during World War II on flags and homes of families that had sons and daughters in the service. The project was organized as a demonstration of roadside beautification of America. To quote New Jersey State Highway Commissioner Spencer Miller Jr., that we are helping to redeem our times and to build a civilization which is fit for free men, for we shall be helping to build America the beautiful. The original concept was expanded to honor all men and women who have served, were serving, or would serve in the armed forces of the United States. How appropriate those words are today. That to build a civilized nation such as ours would never have happened had it not been for the men and women of this nation who have served in our military, who continue to serve in the same capacity. Phase one, renaming and dedication of the highway, has been accomplished. Phase two, memorial marker dedication, has been completed. Phase three, the memorial highway convoy, has been completed. Congressman Earl Blumenauer, as he stated, it is my great privilege to address our veterans on the day we have set aside to honor them. It is fitting that the convoy travels along the Veterans Memorial Highway, a regional landmark that helps us remember and honor the people who have served our nation with such distinction. Congressman Darlene Hooley spoke at the Veterans Ceremony and presented 29 Orders of the Silver Rose Medals honoring victims of Agent Orange and over 3,000 Veterans of Oregon Honorable Service Medal. Following the presentation of the medal, the veterans all participated in the convoy from the Clark County Fairgrounds to the Korean War Memorial in Wilsonville, traveling the length of the Veterans Highway. Because we have this wonderful Blue Star Veterans Memorial Highway, we have our Veterans Convoy, which draws more people each year, a time for gathering to get together, share, honor, and remember, as it kicks off the different week-long events that surround Veterans Day. As Mr. Willis of the ODBA often reminds people, we have in the state of Oregon over 360,000 veterans. The Memorial Highway gives expression again to our honored service members. The convoy continues to be a source, place of information, welcoming to some of our newest and youngest veterans. As a nation, we are quick to criticize, find blame, point the finger, and say some very hurtful things about our military. They receive little pay for what they do. They receive little praise that is genuine. Those of us in the veteran community know the struggle to get care and earn benefits, which can take years. Anytime we can draw our veterans together, anytime we can do honors for those who have served, and anytime we are given the chance to remember those who gave all for this great nation, any day when we can offer comfort to those who have lost a loved one to the service of this nation is a good day. Any day that we come together with pride as Americans, honor old glory, and share all of this with the youth of the day is a good day. All of this and more happens at the Memorial Highway Convoy of the Blue Star Highway, I-205. A friend of mine, MJ Kesterson, really said it best when she said, there never can be enough medals, plaques, coins, or certificates to honor those who have given so much. For us, there can never be too many days to remember those who have served us so well and for so long. Many who continue to serve their communities as vet reps, volunteers at schools, hospitals, working with the youth of the day. Men and women like Luke Wilson, who works with our reintegration team for the Oregon National Guard, Karen Roth and Doyle Robertson with their VFW post, our friend Ron Anderson, who served the state for years, and John Newman, who is one of our valued assets in the veterans community. Bottom line, this is about remembering who we are, how we got what we got, and who helps us keep it. One day that can do all of that and more ain't bad. That's what we call a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Robertson. Mr. Newman.
Thank you, Senator Metzger and committee members. It's my pleasure and honor to be here today. I think that just by your own recognition and proposing this resolution says a lot in itself, and I think in the spirit of the pioneering spirit within Oregon, I think what we're actually dealing with is that you're setting the way for the rest of the nation to follow. It is appalling to me, and it was in the past, and thus the creation of not just I-205 as the Blue Star Highway, but to see children and citizens in this nation that although they have heard the term Blue Star, have no concept as to what the Blue Star even stood for, let alone the Gold Star. It's come up again in more prominence now with the Iraq and the Mideast wars, but for our children not to know this, I think that's incumbent upon us to educate our children and let them know the history of things. And I think this is an important part of the history, that it signifies the sacrifice that has gone on since the day this nation was created, its independence. I can tell you that having been at every one of the convoys, and this is the 8th year celebrating the highway, the healing and the bonding that takes place is impossible to describe without being there. And I know Senator Metzger tried to share that earlier. This last year, we unveiled at the convoy a special medal that was created to, for the first time in this nation's history, or any state in this nation, to actually tell our veterans thank you for their service. I believe you have one up there to look at. This medal, and there's, like a lot of things with the military, has a lot of symbolism, and there's a purpose for every facet that went into creation of this medal. And that is explained in the booklet that I passed out to you. I'm not going to try to read all that front for you. But in simple terms, I can't tell you the pride that comes when people receive this medal. And I'll tell you that first off, it is not something that is paid for by the government. Doesn't cost the state a penny. These medals are presented to our veterans, totally funded by donations in a 501(c)(3) program that we have established. There is a field of honor. It's the first of its kind in the nation, a traveling memorial. That instead of people having to come to Oregon or to Portland to visit this memorial is going to be traveled every length and breadth of the state. It's already scheduled from Grants Pass in the south to Portland. It's already on the coast. I can tell you that in less than 45 days, ceremonies, requests for ceremonies to have this medal presented in the different communities throughout the state has us now with ceremonies that are averaging 1.5 ceremonies per week. We've got 49 of them between now and October. The demand is higher than the amount of volunteers that we have to present the medal. The reason that I bring up this medal is that I would also, I don't know whether it would be added as an amendment or whatever, but I would encourage and ask that the committee might consider being the first state to actually adopt a thank you to our veterans. This medal is presented in a ceremonial fashion that says thank you on behalf of the citizens of the state of Oregon, because they're the ones that pay for it. It doesn't come from a penny in taxpayer dollar or government dollars. It's presented to veterans, and it's on an exclusive ribbon to signify and identify them in the public, anywhere they wear it. It sticks out like a sore thumb. They're easily recognized. It's a thank you from the citizens for all their sacrifices that went into securing the freedoms and the liberties that we take for granted and that we enjoy every day. They all come from the same umbrella. I would only hope that you might consider adopting this, or I don't know what the term might be. Not going to cost the state anything, but letting Oregon be the first state to officially present something as a thank you to our veterans. I can tell you in just less than 60 days, we've been approached by 9 states that are already asking if they can copy our program, an Oregon program. I can tell you that next month I go to Washington, D.C., and I will be presenting this program to all representatives from all 50 states in the nation. It would be great if Oregon already had adopted it and been the first on that list, again, setting that pioneering spirit. So with that, I thank you for consideration and for the presentation of this bill. I don't know what else I can say other than that I am totally supportive of it.
Thank you, Mr. Newman. Really, on a personal level, thank you for all you do. I know it's just an endless amount of hours that you spend supporting veterans and keeping the great sacrifice that everyone has made alive. And it's truly moving being part of that convoy. And I know when Mayor Pollard made his comments there in the pouring down rain in October, they were just really meaningful. And your comment, too, to see our veterans coming out of the woodwork, literally, never have been to a lot of events, but they came there, and how touched they were to have someone remember their service. And we'll look at that medal as a separate issue maybe going forward, so I appreciate that very much. One final thing for me, and I'll see if the committee has any questions, but do you know how many Blue Star highways we have in the country now? Roughly,
there are over 800. Oregon has the most on the west of the Mississippi. Veterans Memorial Highway, I can tell you, I-205, I'm very specific with. It's the only state, it's the only highway in the state that has actually been authorized to display names. It's the only highway that has a sign that says what its name is. It's also the only highway in the state that we only fly flags during the weeks of Veterans Holidays, Veterans Recognized Holidays. So that's why you'll see them on the freeway on Veterans Day, Memorial Day. And to my knowledge, we are the first one in the nation to ever do that.
Well, and for the committee's information, it was Mr. Newman that made that happen. Questions? Senator Morris Anderson.
Thank you. First of all, thank you for your service. Every time I see, especially servicemen from the Vietnam War, I keep thinking, were you one of those? I had the honor of working for Pan Am and accompanying vet servicemen to go on their R&R. So we'd fly into Cameron Bay and Saigon. Whenever I see anyone from Vietnam, I keep thinking, were you on one of our flights? We'd fly you to Guam or Tokyo or to Honolulu for your R&Rs. And that gave me I never knew what war was about. You know, I was, 23, 24. But when those servicemen came on board the plane, because here we were young, in our 20s, and you could just see this, I call it a deadpan look, and all of a sudden it just jarred me. This is war. What have they experienced? What did you experience? And so it's truly a life-changing experience for me, and I just want to thank you very much.
Well, thank you. In answer to your question, I can only speak for myself. I spent 7 years in the Air Force. 6 years of it was in Vietnam. I was there for 18 out of the 23 campaigns.
69 and 70? Those are the years I was there.
I was there 66, 67, 68, 70, 71, and 72. So I spent a few years over there. And really, one of the main reasons for me was that when I came home the first time, I felt out of place. It's been our goal to never have that experience in terms of how we recognize or receive our troops home. And so a lot of them, when they got this medal, it's the first time, and their words were,
"Go ahead.
It's my first welcome home."
Thank you, Mr. Newman. Any other questions? Thank you all so very much. And again, as Senator Moss mentioned, for your service. Let's close the public hearing on SJR 23 and open the work session.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move SJR 23 to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Joint Resolution 23 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion. Any objection?
So ordered.
I'll carry that. We'll mark Senator Deckard as excused. Okay. Let's do some quick ones here. Let's go to... open a public hearing on House Bill 2267 and ask the department to come forward. Okay, all right. All right, then we'll come back to that. We'll try to do this one quickly and then we'll go to our Senate bills for you, sir.
Chair Metzger, members of the committee, I'm Jack Evans with the Department of Transportation, here to talk in support of our bill, House Bill 2267, which deals with the renewal of driver instruction permits. And this is a basically a customer service measure that would allow us to renew these certificates prior to their expiration. We have about 110,000 of these valid permits out right now. Every year about 4,000 of them are renewed. People come in to apply for a renewal permit for a variety of reasons. They may not have passed the test. They may not have their sufficient driving hours. But at this point in time, because of the way the law as written, we have to turn many of them away if they come in prior to the expiration date on their permit. So what this would do would be to create a situation that's parallel to what we do with driver's licenses, and that would be to allow individuals to come in prior to the expiration of their permit, and we'll renew that rather than having to turn them away and have them come back at a later time. So we are looking forward to your support on that.
Okay. Is that clear with everyone there? For some reason, we can, even though you know it's going to run out, we got to wait for it to run out to renew it.
Right, I appreciate Jack coming by to brief me ahead of time.
Please, let's close the public hearing on 2267, open a work session 2267.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2267 to the House floor, or Senate floor, the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Bill 2267 to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objection? So ordered. Please mark Senator Deckard as excused. Let's open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 613. We have a gentleman from Tillamook. See if we can do this. Welcome.
Thank you, Senator Metzger, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Paul Levesque. I'm executive assistant for the Tillamook County Board of Commissioners. One of my many duties is to manage county property, including tax foreclosed property. As such, I'm a member of the Oregon Public Property Managers Association, made up of folks much like me who do the same thing in those counties. Is there a particular bill, Senator Metzger, you wanted to start with first?
Yes, please. 613.
Oh, 613. I'm sorry. That bill would require the address of the assignee on an assignment of trust deed. The reason for the bill has to do with the county's obligation to notify lien holders 1 year prior to the end of the redemption period for tax foreclosure. There's an increasing number of these assignments that do not have addresses on them, and it makes our job very difficult. As a result, there are a number of properties entering the real estate market that have this cloud on title. By requiring the address, that solves our problem and enables us to notify these lien holders. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Have you had any discussion with the county recorders and clerks regarding this?
Yes, they support the bill. We worked with them on the language for the bill, and they recommended the language.
Okay.
And the tax collectors and assessors as well, and the State Bar Real Estate Section. We received no comment from them, though.
Chair Marsteiner.
Well, I was just going to ask that same question, and I was just wondering why the county recorders weren't here.
Well, they support the bill, and they recommended the language. So,
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Janet. There is a letter from the Association of County Clerks. It's not a letter recommending the bill, but, it is supporting the bill. It's not to the committee or anything. It was to Mr. Levesque recommending the language in the bill. And I also, Tim Martinez from the Oregon Bankers Association stopped by the hearing room to let me know, to let you know that they support the bill. And we had a question that before the meeting started, Mr. Chair, if I could continue that.
Mm-hmm, please.
Why we were amending the mortgage statutes instead of the trust deed statutes. And so I included at your place today a copy of the trust deed statutes, and ORS 86.715 says that trust deeds are deemed to be mortgages, and so they recommended amending the mortgage statutes.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from the committee on this call? On the work session this time? Okay, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 613. Open a work session. Senator Starr.
I move Senate Bill 613 to the Senate floor with the DuPass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 613 to the floor with the DuPass recommendation. Discussion? Objection? Order. Senator Starr, would you carry that one?
Sure.
Switch right one more here because he's the same guy. Senate Bill 635, and then we'll dismiss our colleagues here. Go ahead, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, for the record, my name is Paul Levesque, President of the Oregon Public Property Managers Association. This bill requests that you increase the threshold from $5,000 to $15,000 for properties that we can offer at private sale. Presently, there are a growing number of properties between that value that we have to auction. We found that in auctioning unbuildable properties, especially with eBay these days, folks are buying them and selling them out of state. Folks show up at the permit counter expecting to get a building permit only to find out they're unbuildable. The private sale enables us to work with adjoining owners, conduct mini auctions with them, and get it into the hands where it can be used by adjoining owners and back on the tax rolls. Last session, you gave the Department of Transportation similar authority, raising it from $5,000 to $15,000,
right,
for ODOT.
Mm-hmm. Recall that.
That's a good idea.
Yes.
That's the amendment.
Janet was just pointing out that on the bottom of our background, the $5,000 amount was set with 1989. So, time certainly has eroded the value of that minimum threshold.
Can I ask one question?
Yes, Janet, please.
And I had a question, Mr. Levesque, about the change from real market from assessed value to real market value in the bill.
Yes, assessed value, as you know, is much lower in many cases than real market value, and that reflects today's real estate market and captures the number of properties that are unbuildable in that value range.
And then you have a dash one amendment, line 8, that deletes the at least and puts the less than.
Yes.
In.
To correct a drafting error with the Legislative
right.
Council.
Okay. Members have any questions about the bill or for the witness? Okay. Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 625 and open over the session.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 625.
Senator Starr has moved the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 625. Discussion? Objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 625 as amended to the Senate floor with the DuPass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 625 as amended to the floor with the DuPass recommendation. Discussion? Objection? So order, and I'll just have you carry those back to back if that's
sure.
right. No, okay. I'm going to ask you guys. We got one more left. You want to? Can we bang that one out? You think?
Yeah, it's
okay.
Easy.
Okay, if they call you in, we'll do it. Let's go ahead and open. Senator Starr says it's easy. Let's do it. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 2271.
That is it.
And you know the pressure that Jack's under.
Talks fast.
Got a 51-0 vote coming to us here.
Chair Metzger, members of the committee, Jack Evans of the Department of Transportation, here to speak to House Bill 2271, which is a bill that addresses the definition of registration rate for vehicles that carry the T-plate. Those are vehicles between 10 and 26,000 pounds. This corrects an error that we discovered last session in which a term loaded weight was removed inadvertently from the statute, leaving only the term combined weight, which in effect makes this statute applicable to two or more vehicles in combination, so that single vehicles over 10,000 pounds could technically pay registration fees that are based on passenger vehicles. So this would be the large UPS trucks, FedEx trucks, perhaps a large trade van full of equipment that might be 13,000 pounds. They're supposed to pay a higher registration weight that reflects the impact they have on the highways, but technically with this glitch, they could actually end up buying a passenger vehicle registration plate. So what this does is adds the term loaded weight that was in previously back into the definition and corrects that problem. We look forward to your support.
Thank you, Mr. Evans, and thanks for coming and visiting about that. Questions for Mr. Evans? Okay, that's closed public hearing. Open a work session on House Bill 2271.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move House Bill 2271 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Bill 2271 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Mark Senator Deckard as excused. I'll give that to Senator Starr as well, and we are adjourned. Thank you very much, gentlemen.